Open up your Bibles and close your lesson books. So we're going to be doing lesson 17 tonight, but you're not going to need your book. In fact, it's sort of kind of like a closed book test. So close your book. You won't need that during class tonight. Hopefully you did the lesson. If you did, then you'll do well on the test. So tonight we're going to be looking at examples or applications of expediencies. What is an expediency? Just a real quick review, and then we'll get into the application. What is an expediency? JR.
I didn't teach anybody anything. Well, the way I explained to Sunday is an expediency is the way we use it as far as the lessons on authority is concerned, is something that is permitted to advance what is commanded by God. It's profitable or it's something that benefits the obedience to the commandments.
Okay, very good. Everyone hear that? Okay, and so as we look at tonight's lesson, it reminded us that there's four requirements for something to be considered an expediency. And what are those? And you have to get them in the right order without me showing you. So what was the first one? For the first requirement for something to be considered an expediency, it must be what? It must be lawful. Okay? And then 1 Corinthians 6, 12 and 10, 23. What's the second requirement? It must what? It must edify. Very good. Okay, it must edify. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 33. And then the third requirement, it must not what? It must not offend. Okay, it must not offend a brother. 1 Corinthians 10, 32, and then Romans 14, 13 through 23. Okay, and then finally, the fourth requirement, it can't be what? It can't be specified. Okay, it can't be specified. When we say it can't be specified, what do we mean by that? It can't be specified. Okay, already commanded by God. If something's commanded by God, then we don't have a choice of whether or not we are going to do that. So we're if it's commanded, then we, you know, by faith, we are required to follow that commandment. There you go. Why can't something specified be an expedient? It's because it is commanded of God, and we have to submit to that. So what I want to do now is I want to look at the examples in your lesson for tonight. There were some examples that were listed. And we're going to look at some different aspects of each of those examples. And we're going to decide whether or not certain things are expediencies or whether they're unlawful. And so that's, if you had your book open, it'd be real easy. So that's why I had you close your books. So in a class like this, it can be real easy to, there's going to be a lot to end up chasing some rabbits. And so we're not going to chase rabbits. So we're not going down in any holes. So if we see a rabbit, I'm going to shoot it. So we can just go on with our class. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. So what I want to do is, so we'll look at these verses as they're related to assembling. And so let's read the first one. And Andrew, you want to read that first verse?
Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching.
Okay, so in case you're wondering, this is all of the verses I have up here come from the New King James Version. And so looking at Hebrews 10:25, are there any is there anything specified related to assembling in that verse? What's specified? Okay, not to forsake. Okay, anything else? Okay, we're to be exhorting. So we're what else? We're to assemble together for the purpose of exhorting, and we're not to forsake. Okay, anything else that in that verse? Okay, Acts 20, verse 7. Andy, you want to read that for us, please?
Therefore, first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, palms, ready to depart, and the next day spoke to them and continued the discussion until midnight.
Okay, so what is specified in verse 7 of Acts 20 related to assembling? Okay, the first day of the week. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, and again, it shows that they came together and to break bread, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, so the things that are specified in these verses cannot be expediencies. So we must not forsake the assembly. We must come together. We must come together with the purpose, with the mindset of exhorting one another, and we have to do it on the first day of the week. We must come together on the first day of the week. None of those are expediencies. Okay. So, but let's look at some other things, and let's decide whether they're an expedient or whether they're we have no authority for those. What about the place that we assemble, whether we rent, whether we own, we buy, we build, whether we meet outside? What about the place that we rent? Is that expedient, or do we have no authority for that? Okay, and so why is that an expedient? Yeah, it helps us to obey the command, and if we go back to the four requirements, right? So it must be lawful. There's nothing that contradicts God's law here. It must edify, and so coming together, it's a place. It gives us a place to come together where we can edify one another. It must not offend a brother. So, you know, I wouldn't expect anyone to have a problem with the place that we're going to come together. But you would want to make sure of that. And then it's not a direct command, okay? And so that would be an expedient. The length of the service. Midnight, okay? It could be, right? It could be. There's nothing to say that it can't be. And so expedient, or we have no authority for deciding that? That's an expedient, right? Order of service. It's up to us to use our judgment and to decide the order of service. And we can do that without, you know, each of the expedients, they meet the four requirements. Baptism. So Matthew 28:19. Shane, you want to read that for us? Okay, so what's specified in Matthew 28:19? As it relates to baptism? Okay, to go. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Mark 16:16. Nick, you want to read that for us, please? Okay. What's specified in that verse? Okay. So there must be a belief, right? And they have to believe, you know, and hear the word and believe it. Anything else specified in that verse related to baptism? Okay. Acts 2:38. Jason? Okay. So what's specified in this verse? Okay, so repent. Repentance is required. What else? In the name of Jesus. Okay. For the remission of sins. Not because of the remission of sins, but for the remission of sins. For everyone, it's required of everyone. Okay. anything else. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay. What about where someone, does someone have to be baptized in a baptistry? No, that's not required. And so it's an expedient as far as where, whether it's a baptistry, whether it's a river, whether it's a swimming pool, what is required of the body of water that they're baptized in? What? Immersion. So it has to be enough water so that the person being baptized can be totally immersed. So that's an expedient. Sprinkling or pouring? No authority. Okay. Babies or unbelievers? No authority. You have to be able to believe, don't you? So you have to be old enough to understand and believe. Okay. Whether the water is cold or warm, fresh water, salt water, it's an expedient, right? Okay. Singing. Ephesians 5:19. Mo, you want to read that for us, please?
Just to one another in psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Okay. So what is specified in Ephesians 5:19?
Singing.
Okay, singing. Okay. What to sing, so we're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What else?
To the Lord.
And making melody in your heart. Okay? Making melody in your heart. So all of those things are specified, and so therefore none of those things can be considered expediencies. We must do all of those things. Colossians 3:16. Charles, you want to read that, please? Okay. All right. So what's specified in Colossians 3:16 as it relates to singing? Yeah. So in our hearts, what's the purpose of our singing? Teaching and admonishing one another. And then, as Myron pointed out, singing with grace in your hearts. What about the number of songs that we sing? Okay. Expedient. We sing five, we could sing six, we could sing four. You know, it's at our discretion there. What about if we have a choir? Okay. We have no authority. No example, no direct command, no necessary inference. Instruments of music. And so if we look at instruments of music, and a lot of our denominations will have them. And if you go back, you know, if you go back, why do you think that denominations have instruments of music? Okay, they like it, right? So it sounds better to them. It sounds good, and I like to hear someone play the guitar or the piano, and but you know when we don't have Bible authority for what we're doing, then it does become just man's opinion, man's idea. Well, yeah, they use the Old Testament, and they did use instruments of music in the Old Testament. David. So they can stay on key? Okay. That doesn't help me, but yes. David. Are their intentions good or bad? Yeah, their intentions are good, right? So, but it lacks Bible authority for what they're doing. I saw another hand over here, Andrew.
They don't have a direct command against it. So they think that allows them to do it.
Okay. Yeah, they don't have a direct command against it. Okay. That's a good point. Yes, sir.
It also gives someone to the ability or the opportunity to use their God-given talent to play that instrument to His glory.
And that may be the reason in their mind. Yeah. Yeah. And again, their intentions aren't, nothing wrong with their intentions. They just don't have the right of the Bible authority. Bill.
Folks doesn't know, even know.
Yeah.
They don't know why they're there.
Romans 10:3, out of ignorance of God's righteousness, they set out to establish their own righteousness. And that's a big problem with our religious world today, is they don't know. And that's why it's so important that we take the gospel to them and try to teach them so they will know. So.
But you know, Sue and I would just mention, coming from a denomination, this is not something that is really ever discussed. It's just something that is accepted. It's just the norm. It's the way that it is, and it's never discussed. It's never questioned. And if you hear anything contrary to what is the norm, you think it's fringe. You think that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so that's really why this subject of authority is so very, very important. You expect to really make any inroads with anybody and direct them to the Lord. It has got to be right. You've got to go back.
Yeah, if you can't get someone to agree on Bible authority and how to establish it, then you're not going to have success teaching them the gospel.
Yeah, so. And a lot of times when I begin with someone, my approach is very simple. If the Bible says something that is contrary to what we believe and what we accept, what are you going to go with from here on out? Are you going to go with what you've always accepted, or are you going to go with what the Bible says? And if you get someone to say, well, I'm going to do what the Bible says, then maybe, just maybe, you've got a foundation and a standard from which you can work.
Yep. Good comment. Mike?
If you go back in history and read much about the denominations when it started, they just make the same arguments that we made this evening about it. We don't have the authority to play it. Well, then they were not using it.
Yeah.
Then over time, some of the other things have been saying, well, that sounds good, or improve their service, or, you know, and they start using all these other excuses. For them, it's okay, and they bring it in.
Yeah.
At one time, they would not use the instrument either.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Brad?
I think the most prominent, or the most sophisticated one that I've heard is always a reaction to something that they've already accepted. For example, they'll use the actual Greek to say, speaking to one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody. Well, that's the word solo. It means pluck or twang. And then they just forget about what they're supposed to pluck or twang. And they think that means that they can play whatever they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So we've changed it from singing to playing. So that what I'm trying to say is, just like anything else that people try to do, they'll bring in their activity or whatever they're doing in their life, and then they'll try to go around and make something smart, make it work. You know, they try to make it work. Well, if you read right after that, it says a melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, the melody is coming from your vocal cords. That's where you feel it in your heart. You know, and so that's what's plucking or twanging is your vocal cords.
Right.
Pretty simple stuff, right? People try to circle around.
Yeah, but and I agree with you, Brad, but to JR's point, they've never, most of them have never studied it to that point. So they know they're supposed to sing and instruments sound better to them. And that's all they know. So, Richard.
You want to follow up on that a little bit on research, I just looked up melodia in the services.
Anyone else? So whether we sing out of books or from memory, either one, it's an expedient. Whether we sit or stand when we sing, again, it's an expedient. Okay, contribution. So 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. David McGoy, you want to read that for us, please? Okay, so what are the what's specified in this verse concerning contribution?
First day of the week.
Okay. Okay, so first day of the week, each one of you, it's a responsibility of each individual. Storing up is prospered. Okay, thinking ahead. Okay, so so not... Yes, yeah, for the saints, yes. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Sean Walker. So what's specified in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7? Okay, we're to purpose in our hearts. What else? Okay, the attitude in what way, Myron? Yeah, not grudgingly, not feeling like you have to. Okay, Mo?
Each one.
Okay. So it's a responsibility that we each have. Richard?
Premeditated.
So it's thinking about it ahead of time and not just pulling out what you have left in your pocket. Okay. Anyone else? We're to be cheerful givers. And it makes the comment, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So, you know, the message there is, you know, for us not to give as little as we can give. If that's our attitude, then we have an attitude problem. If our goal is to give as little as we can give, so okay. Expediencies. Cash or check? Does it matter? Okay, it's an expedient. What about making investments with the Lord's money to make more money? What about taking our contribution and putting it into an IRA or a mutual fund?
No authority.
Okay, no authority. Okay. What about bake sales?
No
authority. Okay. What about when the time of... What time during the service, whether we do it beginning of service, end of service, middle of service? Expedient. What if we pass a basket or we pass a hat? If we pass my hat, we can collect more money. So, so. Okay. It's an expedient. All right. You'll be able to laugh at yourself, so. All right, preaching. Mark 16, verses 15 to 16. Chris.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned.
Okay, what's specified in these verses related to preaching? Okay, so we're to preach it in all the world.
Preach the gospel,
okay? And so not to preach something else, but to preach the gospel. All right? What else?
To everyone.
To everyone, okay? To everyone. And that's important. A lot of times we want to look at someone, and if they don't look the way that we might think in our mind, they don't look like someone that would accept the gospel. And so we won't teach it. We won't try to teach it to them. So it tells us, teach it to everyone. What else? Related to preaching. Okay, I think we got it all. Acts 10:42. Mike, you want to read that for us? Acts 10:42. Okay. All right. What's specified in Acts 10:42? Preach to the people. And again, what are we to preach to them about according to this verse? Yeah, we're to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Okay, and then finally, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Rod.
I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside unto fable.
Okay. So what's specified in those verses as it relates to preaching? The word. Okay. Preach the word. What else?
Anytime.
Okay. There's no set time that we're not limited to when we can preach. Okay. Anything else? It's a command.
Charge.
Yes, it is a command. Okay.
Be long suffering
in doing it. Yeah, because you will face some difficult times, confrontation at times. Okay. What about when, how, where? As Bill pointed out, anytime. Right, so there's no set time when we're not limited on when we can preach. What about false doctrine? Okay, so unlawful, no authority. What about whether we're preaching someone privately or public? Is one right, one wrong? Okay, expedient. What about for preaching from the pulpit, on the radio, the TV, a tract, the internet? No authority? Okay, well let's go back and look at the four criteria. So first of all, it must be lawful. So is there anything in the Bible that would tell us that any of those four ways of preaching are sinful?
Preaching is lawful, and so anything that expedites that would be in the area of expediency. Anything that advances that, which is radio, TV, printed page, internet, anything like that would be in the speech.
Yeah. So. Okay, all right. Okay, but so it is how we do it, how we go about spreading the word, is an expedient. So we have options there, and we can use our judgment to decide that. What about missionary societies? Okay, no authority. Okay, all right. Drink this cup. Matthew 26:26 through 30. Let me see. Jordan? Okay, so what is specified in these verses as it relates to drinking the cup? Okay, it needs to be blessed, given thanks for. Okay, what else?
It's the fruit of the vine.
The fruit of the vine. Okay. Okay, we're to do it until the day that he comes, that he returns. Good. What about as far as what it represents as we're if we take it, if we drink of it, and we're drinking it as, oh, here's a good drink of grape juice, you know, is that the intent, the mindset? Yes, it's representing his blood that was shed for us, and we're, you know, as we're remembering his death, that's why we're partaking of the emblems. Okay, all right, Luke 22:18, Michael, Hawk. Okay. Anything what's specified here?
We're drinking with the Lord. We're communing with Him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then finally, Acts 20:7. Andrew.
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight.
Okay. What's specified? The first day of the week. First day of the week, the disciples came together. Okay. As far as expediencies, whether it be morning, evening, midnight, it has to be what? First day of the week. Coffee, tea, or Coke? Okay, no authority. Whether we use one cup or we each use individual cups.
You know, that will cause problems with some people.
It will.
It will.
They don't
think it's an expedient to divide it up for facilitation. But they'll say, and we don't have a problem. I can worship with somebody who says, this says one cup. I try to sit where I can get first sip, and it never works because I don't know where to start. But the point is, our expediency they will not accept.
Yeah, either way is fine. I mean, but you're right. There are some that believe strongly that you should use one cup. How it's served. So whether we have, you know, four men or whether we have everybody come up. Everybody could come up here and just get it off the table. Is that no authority? Expedient, okay? Expedient. Once a year. Partake of it once a year. No authority. Okay. Relieve the needy. Okay. Acts 4:32-35. Jeff?
Things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as anyone had need.
Okay. All right. Specified. What's specified in these verses as it relates to relieving the needy?
No, it doesn't actually say it. It's for Christians, for saints.
Okay. For saints. It's for, this verse is talking about, are these verses talking about caring for the needs of the saints that were gathered there together. What else?
Well, if you look at that bottom sentence there, distributed to each as anyone had the need, in order to identify that, to go back up, it's of the multitude who believes, so it would be Christians. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, so it was under the authority of the apostles, under the direction of the apostles.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Yeah, so yeah, the folks, the Christians that were gathered there that had a need, the intention was to make sure that those needs were met, so that everyone had it, that all the Christians had what they needed. So, Richard. Yeah, yeah, there has, and that's a good point. We have to be concerned and be aware and be looking around to make sure that everyone's needs are met. So that's good. All right, Romans 15, 25 through 26. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So what's specified in these verses? Saints helping saints, okay. And this is an example where saints are helping saints at another congregation. Anything else specified?
Given to those who truly need it.
Okay, yeah. Given to those that have need. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Logan, you want to read that for us, please?
Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come.
Okay, what's specified in these verses?
First day of the week.
For the saints. Everyone? Preparedness? Okay. It's based on as you've prospered. Okay. What about supporting orphan homes? Okay. As individuals, we can do that, but for the church, that's not a responsibility the church has been given. What about how we see to their needs? Whether we give money or food or clothing, does it have to be money? No. So it's an expediency, right? So, benevolent society, unlawful. All right, teaching. Matthew 28:20. I'm going to read these so we can try to get through. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what's specified in this verse regarding teaching?
Only what he commanded.
Yeah. Teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded. forever, okay? Even to the end of the age. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All right. What's specified here? Yeah, the message. So it's talking about the gospel message. So the things that you heard that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Okay, and then finally, 2 Timothy 4:1-2. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. What's specified here? Okay. Using God's word at all time. Okay. Okay. Whether they want to hear it or don't want to hear it, in season and out of season, use it to convince, to rebuke, to exhort, and to the point Mike made earlier, with all long suffering and teaching. Sometimes there may be some difficult times that you're going to face in teaching the gospel to someone or trying to. Right. Time, place, size of group is an expedient. False doctrine. Okay, support of the preacher. We have just a few minutes left. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Galatians 6:6. What's specified here? Well, those, so Christians who are taught the word, we should do what? We should share in all good things with him who teaches. So, pay the teacher. That's a good way of putting it. 2 Corinthians 11:8, I robbed other churches. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. What's being specified here? Yeah, so it's okay to help support a preacher as he goes about teaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. What's specified here? It's acceptable for a preacher to be paid for the work that he does. Okay. How it's giving, whether it's money, house, food, utilities. Expedient? Do we have a right to refuse to support them? Unlawful? The frequency, whether we pay them daily, weekly, monthly? Expedient? Jurisdiction of elders. All right. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What's specified? As far as the jurisdiction of the oversight of the elders.
Among you,
okay. Among you. Anything else in that verse? Okay, Acts 14. That's it. All right, thank you. I almost got done.